Into your head.
Tremendously exciting moment. A moment where I'm experiencing more freedom than I have done in quite some time, because I'm using the portable recording device for the first time in several episodes. I haven't used it since around, I don't know. Whenever the last time was, I don't know. So suffice to say, the last several episodes were recorded with me strapped to the computer. I couldn't even do a proper urination session because I couldn't reach as far as the bathroom. But I don't feel any shame in that. Size isn't everything. And, stuff. Anyway, it was this tremendously free episode. I'm sitting up on the kitchen counter, and I could get down off the kitchen counter right now if I wanted. I wouldn't have to press stop. I could just carry on recording. I could record myself walking all over this house. I could even go outdoors if I wanted to. I'd go outside and, run after a cat. If I find a cat and see where it's going, go and track it down. And probably end up landing on top of a bird that the cat has pounced on. Because, of course, if the cat went and stood perfectly still waiting to pounce on the bird, I'd stand about 3 feet back and wait until the cat pounced. And then I'd jump the exact same distance that the cat did. And I'd end up three feet behind the cat, but I'd have landed on nothing because I'd be copying the cat's actions. I'd have landed on something, unless of course there happened to be another bird three feet behind the bird that the cat was pouncing on. But then the cat would have seen that. Unless it's a short-sighted cat, and there were two birds in front of the cat, and if the cat only saw the one that was further away, that would work out very well then, because the cat will get a bird to pounce on, and I'd get another bird to pounce on, exactly 3 feet away from where the cat pounced on the bird. So we both get a bird, and then I'd pick up the bird in my mouth and do whatever the cat did with it, presumably bring it in and torture it in the hall. That's what our cats usually do. They find the bird, and they drag it in by the mouth, not the bird's mouth, the cat's mouth. They grab onto some part of the bird and they carry it in its mouth into the house. They present it to us and say, "Look, I caught you a bird." And then we say, "No, that's fine. We've got some poultry in the supermarket. We got some properly processed poultry." That's an excellent opportunity for alliteration there. But properly processed poultry. I think I'll use that as the title of today's show. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, whenever I say that, that I'm going to use something as the title of today's show, I never do. Well, this time I will. This show is going to be Into Your Head, show number 70, Properly Processed Poultry. And if it's not called that, if it's called something else, well, it just means I've thought of something better during the editing process, or at some point between now and when I start the editing process. So it's, you can be guaranteed that this show is either going to be called Properly Processed Poultry or something better. So I think that's fair enough. If I think of something better than that, I can use it. I think that's reasonable. And if you're disappointed by my lack of the use of properly processed poultry, there's no reason to be, because if I haven't used that, it means I've thought of something even better. So you're going to get satisfaction all the way to the maximum possible point. The premier possible point. That's another possible one. Possible premier possible point. I don't think I'll use that one, because it's crap. And I don't want one that's crap. I want one that's good. I want a title for this show that's good. And I know what you're thinking there. I could just call it good. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll just call it show 70 good. And I know what you're thinking there. There's no alliteration there. It's better when there's either alliteration or more than one word. Or it's, the name just sounds silly. So I could call it good. Good something. I don't know. Good. Well, I can't think of anything at the moment. Stop putting me under pressure, you fucking bastards. I can't think of anything at the moment. I'll come back and think of it during the editing process when I'm not busy trying to think of things to say to you. It's 4 minutes and 21 seconds into the show now, and we're still bogged down on this the issue of what to use in the title. I don't think that's appropriate. I shouldn't be distracted while I'm trying to record my podcast. I'm a professional. I'm trying to produce a professional podcast. There you go again. Produce a professional podcast. That's alliteration again. The three words beginning with P. Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking it was produce a professional podcast. So it wasn't three P words in a row. But A isn't what you call it. If you put the word A into a search in Google, Google will just say, I'm just going to ignore this A thing and just search for the big words there. Because that Google and all the other search engines know that little words aren't important. If I say ah, it'll say ah, you don't need to put in the ah. I'll just leave that out for you there. There's a good boy. I might search for ways to torture a dog, and it'll say Google will say I'll just search for ways to torture a dog, because you don't need those other words. Those words are all over the place. If I search for them for you, I'll just come up with the entire internet. Because there isn't one single page on the internet that doesn't contain the word of or a. But you can rest assured if I search, if I narrow it down to words that contain ways, kill and dog, that'll narrow it down to at least, at the most, 20% of the internet. There isn't any more than 20% of the pages on the internet that are going to have those three words on them. Especially not in that order, I mean. And that's why. That's why it's important to learn how to do a proper search with proper keywords and use quotation marks and all that sort of thing. Today's generation just don't know how to search for things on the internet. The previous generation didn't know either, but that's because the internet wasn't invented yet. So they had an excuse. They were busy. They knew how to search for things on the television. Only I think they could. They knew how to change it from UHF to VHF and turn the knob to change the frequency and wriggle with the aerial. That was the 1970s version of Google. When the Muppet Show came on, you'd go and wriggle the aerial and turn the knobs and say, RTE2 is on UHF, and it's you have to turn a bit, go up past HTV and go up a little bit, and there it is. It's a bit fuzzy, but it's there. And, the Muppet Show isn't on today because the Pope is visiting Ireland, because it's 1979, so they're showing the Pope instead. So that's unfortunate. And, who'd have thought us in another 25 years' time this Pope is going to be dead? And it'll probably be some sort of international network where you can go and look up on your computer and see whether the Pope is dead yet by that time. Who's to tell what's going to happen? Anyway, I wonder when the Muppet Show is on. Feeling quite ashamed at the moment because we're already into the second segment of this show, and I've got all this newly found, refound freedom back. I've got my portable voice recorder working again. I found an old headset that's working. To my surprise, I thought it wasn't working. I thought it was fuzzy. I thought it was making fuzzy noises. But it's not anymore. It was at the time. I've rested it, and it's working fine now. It's working reasonably well. But here I am. I find myself back in the Interior Head studio. I'm recording on my portable recording device, but I'm sitting in the Interior Head studio. And that's because it's got internet and a seat and all sorts of things. You can't get an internet and a seat in the kitchen. Well, you can get a chair, I suppose, but you can't just turn up in the kitchen and go, oh, look, here's some internet and here's a seat, unless I have some sort of a laptop and a chair. Well, as a matter of fact, I do have a chair in the kitchen. I have two chairs in the kitchen and a table, but I prefer to sit on the counter when I'm recording my podcast, and I prefer not to be on some sort of laptop thing when I'm recording, because that's ridiculous too. If I was on a laptop, I should be recording on the laptop, not using my portable recording device. I should be using the laptop as a mobile studio. So if I was sitting down here, down in the kitchen with my portable recording device on me and or is on the internet on my laptop, that would be just as ridiculous as what I'm doing now, which is sitting in my Interior Head studio, a perfectly good recordable computer, and I'm still using my portable recording device. Now, I don't know if any of that makes any sense to you whatsoever. It doesn't need to. It need to make any sense to you. I mean, this is all production stuff. You don't need to know about it. You don't need to know that I'm Well, that I could be recording this on the studio equipment. I have very fancy studio equipment for Into Your Head. I've got a desktop PC. Sits on top of a desktop. It's got a massive flat screen. It doesn't take up any space at all. It's a two-dimensional screen, and everything that's on it is two-dimensional. But that's normal. If I had a three-dimensional screen instead of a flat one, all the stuff that's on the screen wouldn't be in 3D, because most of the internet isn't in 3D at all. It's just like when you get a 3D, one of those fancy new 3D televisions with a 3D DVD player, and then you turn on your television and you find that there's only about 1 hour of programming a week produced in 3D. So you end up just watching all these two-dimensional television programs. So that's why I just have a two-dimensional flat monitor instead of a three-dimensional one. I don't feel I'm missing out on anything at all. In fact, let's have a look now. Let's go on the internet and see how many three-dimensional websites there are that you can supposedly use on a three-dimensional computer monitor. Now that I think of it, all of the shops now are switching from three-dimensional monitors to two-dimensional flat ones. So they seem to think that it's a step forward to get rid of 3D. And they're probably right, because I don't want to have to wear a frigging pair of cardboard spectacles with red on one side and green on the other while I'm trying to use the computer. It's hard enough to see as it is. So anyway, here we go, 3D websites. I'll do a little Google search for it. Hold on a minute. 3D website. Okay, that's a misspelling. 3D websites. 3D instant website. Let's go in to see what this is all about. Publish interactive 3D content in a click. Now you can quickly and easily create and publish live web pages with 3D interactive content. Well, that's a lie. If you've listened to what I've been saying for the last 3 minutes, you'll know that that's a complete lie. There's no such thing. Enables users to publish interactive 3D images with a single mouse click. Right, I'm going to click my mouse once now and we'll see what happens. Here we go. See, absolutely frigging nothing. It's a waste of time. This site is a lie. It's a fake. It's even got a telephone number on it. It's a US number. Oh, there's another one for outside the US and Canada. Well, I don't know how you can be inside the US and Canada. You can only be in one country at a time. Oh, unless there's some part of Canada that's part of the US now, or vice versa. Maybe Niagara Falls. But I've been to Niagara Falls, and I know how it works. There's two Niagara Falls. One is on one side of the river, and the other is on the other side. And I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking somewhere in the middle of that river, at the waterfall, there's this point where you move your finger and 1 second you're in the US and 1 second you're in Canada. And there's probably some little, tiny little millimeter of space that's in both countries. Well, you're absolutely wrong about that. I've checked. I've looked it up. It's not the case. They've got a new modern mini. The same way they make all the computer chips really small now. They've got nanotechnology. So someone set up a nano border marker at that point. There's basically a piece of glass. So you can't see it, because glass is see-through, so you can't see it. But even if you could see it, it would be too small for you to see. It's a micro-thin sheet of glass, and that's how you know you've crossed the border, when you bash your head against some glass, but you can't see it. So you probably think that you've dived down too deep under the waterfall or something. You've probably just gone over the waterfall, and you've plunged down into the water at the base of the waterfall, and you probably, when you bang your head, you probably don't know you've banged your head. You think you've got the bends, because you spent half your teenage life listening to that Radiohead album, and you think that's what everything is about. Anytime there's anything wrong, I've got the bends, even though you know it's just what's that word for something that's not really that? It's just something that you make up to represent that. Oh, I don't know, I can't remember the word. An analogy. It's an you know damn well that the bends, it's just an analogy. But you decide to use that analogy for everything. Anytime anything goes wrong, you said if you eat a sandwich and it doesn't fill you up completely, you say, oh, I've got the hunger bends. My belly has the bends. Or if you miss the bus, you'll say, I've got the transport bends. That's your typical 1990s teenager. Everything's based on what Radiohead said. Tom York comes along and says, oh, I've got the bends, and I'm in the mental institution, and they're all out to get me, and I'm going to make another dreary album about it because I'm Radiohead. And then you'll just come along and listen to him and say, oh, Tom York says I'm depressed and I've got the bends, and there's something wrong with my cat, and I hate my parents, they're scum. Well, admittedly, in some cases, your parents are scum. I mean, sometimes your parent turns out to be an axe murderer. If that's the case, then Tom York is right about your parents. But that's only a stroke of good luck on his part. He tells everyone that their parents are scum. And it just so happens in your case, a 1 in a million chance, your parents just happen to be scum. And he's told them through the album that they're scum. And you think he's great now because he got that right. It's just luck. Good luck. It's just like when you go to a psychic and he says it's your, he takes a chance, the psychic does, and he said, did you know someone on the other side called Aloysius? And it's just by good luck you happen to know someone called Aloysius. He knows that it's a very common name. Everyone knows someone called Aloysius. I went to school with a guy called Aloysius Wolfgang Walsh, and I'm sure you did as well. Everyone went to school with someone called Aloysius, and well, there you go. That's basically all I have to say about that.
Now, you join me at a tremendously exciting moment. I'm in the car, Joanna's driving. I've requested the cat song, and since she's refused, I have to do it now. I'm quite happy about that. I wanted to do one anyway, but she gets first refusal on cat songs, so I'm going to do a cat song here in the car. Oh, cat, 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 this is a mobile cat song. Cat, 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 this is a mobile cat. Ah, fuck, I can't do it with her listening.
That's because I'm better than you. That's because I'm better. Okay, I'm about to cry. That's fun. Okay.
You're thinking there, you're thinking, he's just said that's all I have to say about that. Well, he could have said that at any point. He could have said that 2 minutes earlier. He could have just said that, and that's all I have to say about that. It doesn't mean anything. It's just a tool for ending the segment. He could have gone on for another 5 minutes if he had thought of anything, and then said that's all I have to say about that. Well, that's perfectly true. It's just like it's just a way of ending it. It's like if I say goodbye, and that's just a way of ending the conversation. For example, if I say goodbye now, it's a way of ending the show. In fact, I don't usually say goodbye at the end of the show. I don't like saying goodbye on Into Your Head. It marks, I think it's a negative word, it marks the ending of something. It suggests that it's not coming back. It suggests that there's not going to be a number 71 of Into Your Head. Which is not the case. There is going to be a number 71 of Into Your Head, but I have to do this one first. And if I were to say goodbye now, then that would be the end of the show, and I'd have to stop recording. I wouldn't be able to carry on this episode. I'd just have to insert the closing music, or just end the file there. I have no closing music, and I wouldn't be able to go on. Let's try it and see what happens. Goodbye. Yeah, well, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking on this occasion it didn't work. Well, it did work. It's just that wasn't a real goodbye. It was a fake one. I was trying to illustrate your point. It's like if you're watching that show MythBusters on Discovery Channel, and one of them says, "I'm going up into space," and then they show a cartoon animation of the guy going up into space. But if you look closely, you'll see it's just a cartoon picture of a rocket with a round window in it, and the photo of his face stuck in the window to make it look like he's going into space. And they don't expect you to believe that; they're just demonstrating it. So it's the same here. When I said goodbye, it was just an illustration. I was trying to do a little showing what might happen if I said goodbye prematurely, or if I said goodbye at all. It would end the show; it would have been over. And I should probably put in a little blank space at the end of that piece where I said goodbye, but I don't want to because I'm afraid that you might hear the blank space and think that's the end of the show and just press stop, and then you won't hear this. This will be like a little extra hidden segment. It'll be like on the last Queen album to involve Freddie Mercury. There's an extra little hidden track. They put in all their songs, and then they put a little bit of blank space, and then they put an extra little track that was about 20 minutes long. And I didn't notice it until several weeks after I bought the CD, and then I found it. And then I listened to it, and I thought, oh, it's crap, it wasn't even a proper song. There was a load of bells jangling, and a few noises, and a few little recordings of Freddie saying stuff, and bits of things, and bits of, oh, it was absolute crap. It was like a Pink Floyd album, except without the, I don't know, without the bits of Stephen Hawkins talking. That's the best Pink Floyd song, as far as I'm concerned. The one that's got Stephen Hawkins talking at the beginning of it, talking through his machine thing. Someone went and plugged his machine thing into the Pink Floyd album recording machine, and they made a song out of it, a big long song. It was basically a sample of Stephen Hawking saying, oh, something about space or whatever. Whatever he goes on about. Professor Stephen Hawking always goes on about space or time, or time in space, or space spent passing time, or spaces where you go to pass the time. Those are his areas of expertise. He spent his entire adult life studying these, and fair play to him, I have to hand it to him. He is an expert on those things. He's written several books about time and space, and he managed to get them done in no time. I mean, he the poor man can't even move, and he was able to write a book in about 2 minutes. He probably dictated it to someone. I don't know how it works. He probably dictated it into a machine, and the machine had some sort of electronic hand connected to it, and that wrote the book for him. And he just had to get someone to change the ink every now and then, or change the nib. It was probably a mechanical pencil, because those scientists all love mechanical pencils. I put a mechanical pencil in my pocket 2 days ago, and it's broken already. I usually carry a biro, but I couldn't find one at the time, so I carried a mechanical pencil, and it just didn't work. It's probably because I'm not a scientist. I'm incapable of keeping a mechanical pencil intact. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking these scientists, they go around, they're usually working in a lab, so they have a shirt pocket. If you're in a lab, you have a shirt pocket. I don't have a shirt pocket going around in my day-to-day life. I wear t-shirts a lot, or cardigans, and I don't have a shirt pocket. I have a trouser pocket, and trouser pockets just don't work for mechanical pencils. They break, and that's it. So basically, there you go. What can I say? I can't carry a mechanical pencil. I'm just a failure. If you all excuse me, I'll just go and listen to Radiohead.
If you would like to comment on any of the issues raised in today's program, visit the Stalkers Forum guestbook
and online voicemail system
at our website, intoyourhead.com, or email us at studio@intoyourhead.com. Remember, we value the opinions of you, the humble and ignorant listener.